Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. July 2018, Houston, Texas. A 10-week-old baby girl is rushed into emergency. It is immediately evident to doctors that this girl's injuries weren't an accident. This was a shocking case of abuse at the hands of the baby's own father. This is Jasmine's story. Jasmine Rose Robin was born April 30th, 2018, in Houston, Texas, to parents Catherine White and Jason Robin Jr., the second child born to the couple, with their first child being born 2 years earlier. Jasmine was born prematurely at 29 weeks, 11 weeks early. She was super tiny, weighing only 2 pounds 15 ounces, or around 1.3 kilos when she was born. Jasmine would spend the first 2 months of her life in the NICU. It wouldn't be until July 3rd, 2018, would Jasmine be released into her parents' care to go home. White and Robin weren't in the best position to be parents at the time our story takes place, the couple having met 3 years earlier in 2015. White's family disapproving of the relationship right from the get-go, and they tried to keep White, who was 17 at the time, away from 20-year-old Robin. Robin had a serious drug addiction, as well as a lengthy criminal record, including theft, evading arrest, and felony drug possession. But all of this just pushed the couple closer together, with the couple quickly moving in together and getting pregnant with their first child, before becoming engaged just before Jasmine's birth. Now, Jason Robin Jr. had a lifetime of involvement with Child Protective Services. Dating back to his own childhood, Robin was a troubled kid, and when he was only 13 years old, his own family made accusations of abuse against him, this landing the teen and juvenile detention centres on and off until he matured out of the system. White and Robin had already come to CPS's attention as parents because of their eldest child. In March 2018, police received an anonymous call accusing Robin of hitting and kicking the couple's 2-year-old son. This caller also claimed White had pinched the little boy underneath his shirt so hard that she left bruises, that the boy had other bruising on his stomach, arms, legs and bottom. But CPS found these claims to be unsubstantiated and closed the report no further action. This was despite no investigation really going forward. The report states that neither parent cooperated with the inquiries, but the reality was CPS didn't even know where the family were living. During this time, Robin had at least one police interaction, April 2018. He was arrested and charged with felony evading arrest. And this was only a week before Jasmine's birth, before she spent basically her entire life at the hospital, because she would only be sent home with her parents for 11 days, before she was rushed back to where she was born, unconscious and having seizures. July 15th, 2018, White and Robin rushed their newborn daughter Jasmine into emergency at Pearland Memorial Hermann Hospital. The baby was having convulsions. It was immediately evident to doctors that this little girl had some sort of severe head trauma. Upon further investigation, doctors found broken bones, bite marks, bruising around her eyes, scans showing a brain hemorrhage, doctors alerting Houston police to this potential case of child abuse. Jasmine was sent for tests to check for brain activity, but unfortunately, despite medical staff's best efforts, there was nothing they could do. 10-week-old Jasmine Robin was deemed brain dead. She was taken off life support and passed away later that same day, July 15th, 2018. Houston Police Department opened a child abuse investigation into little Jasmine's death. And while they were at the hospital, White and Robin were questioned briefly. Robin said the day prior to Jasmine's death, he'd woken up at 2 a.m. to feed the baby a bottle. At first, she refused to take it, but with a little encouragement, she ended up finishing the entire bottle. But after this, Jasmine went limp, and Robbins said this was when he commenced CPR on the infant. He said she seemed fine after this and went to sleep, if slightly quicker and deeper than she usually would. Robbins said the decision was made to take her to the hospital after Jasmine refused two feeds in a row and wasn't acting normal. Both Robin and White said a week before Jasmine died, they had to perform CPR on her again after she choked on a bottle and stopped breathing. Now, I'm sorry, but if my newborn baby stopped breathing and required CPR, I would be straight to the hospital wanting answers. Not just shrugging and thinking, well, she's okay now. Not once, but twice. Because obviously something isn't okay. Normal healthy babies don't choke on their bottle to the point they stop breathing. Robin and White would later admit the reason they didn't take her to the hospital at this time was because they were worried CPS would remove the children from their care. Again, why would they think that, if this went down actually the way they said it did? A baby choking on a bottle and losing consciousness warrants medical intervention, not CPS reports. This would only happen if there were other injuries or other reasons for the baby to stop breathing. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. 9 months later, April 30th, 2019, Jason Robin Jr. made a Facebook post reading, "Yesterday was mine and Catherine's daughter Jasmine's birthday. And yes, she would have been 1 year old. God in the heavens needed her back home, for she had fulfilled her purpose and it was her time. What purpose a 1 year old could feel at that point, I don't know." He went on to say that that day was the absolute hardest day to make it through, quote, "without crawling into the fetal position and crying my eyes out. It was bad enough that I was mostly just silent through the day. Daddy loves you and misses you so much, Jasmine Rose Robin," unquote. Despite the autopsy being performed soon after death, Jasmine's autopsy report wasn't finalised until May 2019. The results revealed that baby Jasmine had 96 total fractures, including 2 fractures of the skull, 10 on her scalp, 71 total rib fractures, 9 contusions on her torso, and 23 long bone fractures. She also had old and new brain bleeds, and retinal hemorrhages in both eyes. The report went on to say that Jasmine's brain was liquefied. June 24, 2019, about a month after the final autopsy report was handed down, and almost a year after Jasmine's death, her parents, Jason Robin Jr. and Catherine White, were finally arrested. Robin was charged with murder. He was held at Harris County Jail, while White was charged with injury to a child by admission. She made bail, but still the couple's older child was removed from the home. White was heavily pregnant at the time of her arrest, and when this baby was born awaiting trial, the baby was placed with a relative. The prosecution's case was set around Robin being responsible for killing his newborn daughter, shaking her, and then striking her with a blunt force object. District Attorney Kim Ogg made a statement after the couple was arrested, saying the evidence showed baby Jasmine fell victim to the person who was supposed to protect her the most.
Catherine White
stood before a judge for the first time, a mother accused. She is charged with injury to a child by omission, her boyfriend, Jason Robin, charged with murder. An autopsy showed their 10-week-old daughter, Jasmine, firstborn premature, endured 96 fractures, including a cracked skull, in her short life. A judge set bond at $5,000. Jason has yet to appear. Both were arrested within the last 24 hours. The mother's family saying Catherine was not involved.
I miss my granddaughter very, very much, and I do want justice for my granddaughter. The charges against my daughter, I feel, are something that she didn't do, something that she was not involved in.
During court, whether the 21-year-old can have contact with the couple's 2 other children was addressed. One is in foster care, the other with Jason's parents. In a statement to Eyewitness News, they wrote, quote, "they both had violent tempers, but we never imagined this would happen. We lost a beautiful, strong angel who fought so hard to come home. We lost a grandson to the system. I'm so very glad we got my granddaughter, JC, who is loved and cherished every day." Tonight's judge referred the no-contact issue to a district court judge. The parents remain in jail.
Robin tried to convince police that the bruising and fractures on Jasmine were from when he was attempting CPR on the infant. During the interrogation with police, Robin admitted that he had anger that could be uncontrollable at times. Robin admitted that hearing the baby cry made his ears, quote, ring all the way to kingdom come, unquote, leading him to slam doors or punch grass. Now, I don't know about that or if it's meant to be walls, but the news articles insist he said punch grass. Maybe that's a saying I just have never heard before. Please feel free to DM and correct me here. Regardless, Robin denied hurting Jasmine, telling investigators, quote, she was too beautiful to hit, unquote. Robin told investigators, in an effort to reduce his anger, he had been reading psychology books. He'd also been ordered to complete a court-ordered drug program, because when he was arrested, Robin tested positive for methamphetamines, cocaine, and marijuana. A CPS report would note that both parents had admitted to prior drug use. When investigators spoke to Catherine about Jasmine's death, she tried to blame Jasmine's brain bleed on the hospital. A friend of the couple, who was living with them at the time, he said he saw Robin administer CPR on the baby a week before she was rushed to the hospital unresponsive. He said he told Robin he should take the baby to the hospital earlier, but Robin insisted that she was okay. The friend of the couple who also shared the apartment with the young family, when he spoke to police, he said he saw Jasmine's rocker with blood on it. White had asked him to move the rocker, along with some other of Jasmine's belongings, because she said if she came home from the hospital and it was all there, it would break her heart. When asked about it, White said the blood on the rocker was from Jasmine's tongue. Now, I couldn't find any explanation why Jasmine's tongue would be bleeding, though. Again, regardless, the family's roommate would tell police that it was definitely too much blood to have just come from Jasmine's tongue. This roommate also told police that he tried to get White and Robin to bring baby Jasmine to the emergency room almost a week before they actually did. The roommate told police White and Robin told him Jasmine had suffered a choking and coughing fit and that she had stopped breathing. Robin had previously said he had given the baby CPR and was able to revive her. White telling the roommate that she was too tired to take the baby to the hospital and needed to take a nap instead. A week later, the couple visited Jasmine's pediatrician, July 10, 2018, only 5 days prior to her death. The doctor noticed bruising around the newborn's eyes, which the couple strangely claimed occurred during CPR and from her choking on the bottle. The pediatrician also suggested that White and Robin take Jasmine to the hospital, but apparently neither showed any interest in doing so. For reasons not explained, this did not warrant a report to CPS. Now, Jasmine's paternal grandparents, so Robin's parents, Jason Robin Sr. and Micah Robin, they were obsessed about their granddaughter for the short time she was alive. They spent every day at the hospital when baby Jasmine was in the NICU. Jason Sr. taking so many photos and videos, and Micah counting down the days until she could hold the baby. Unfortunately, she would never get the chance to do so. They hadn't had an opportunity to visit with their new grandbaby after she was discharged from the hospital. And now all those memories were taken away from them. Micah called White every day after Jasmine was discharged, but she always had an excuse why they couldn't visit. Jason Sr. and Micah realised something was wrong several days before Jasmine died, after watching a Facebook video. They noticed their granddaughter had two black eyes and a swollen head. This wasn't going to fly with the grandparents. They wanted answers. Yet all calls to both White and Robin's phones would go unanswered. The next day, Micah reported what she suspected to be child abuse to CPS. But as we know now, they didn't act quick enough to save Jasmine's life. It wouldn't be until after Jasmine's death would CPS open an investigation. And this wasn't even about Jasmine. This would be in regard to her older brother, for an incident before Jasmine was even born. Jason Sr. and Micah both agree that CPS needs new protocols because, as we see week in and week out, the current system is completely broken. However, during this time, Micah was heavily in support of her son, Jason Robin Jr. She said no way, no how could her son be responsible for killing his baby girl. Again, bizarrely, Micah would continue on with this statement, and she would say she believed Robin could hurt Jasmine. But murder? Not possible. because hurting your newborn is okay. Honestly, even hurting your child is horrific enough. Micah also said that Robin was the only one that showed any compassion towards the kids. But regardless who was responsible, Jason Sr. said that he wanted justice for his granddaughter, even if that meant that his son had to be punished. That no matter which of the couple were responsible for Jasmine's death, they should be given the death penalty in his eyes. Quote, "I love my son, but he took away something, and I never got the chance to love." Unquote. September 4, 2019, a Harris County grand jury upgraded the couple's charges. Catherine White being charged with felony murder and Jason Robin Jr. with capital murder. Robin's bond was set at $250,000 and he was held at the Harris County Jail. But White would again bond and she was released. White's mother stating the situation was heartbreaking and whatever baby Jasmine went through was tragic. However, she stood by her daughter, saying she wasn't home at the time the newborn was injured, and that someone needed to be held accountable for Jasmine's death, but that wasn't White in her opinion. June 2023, Jason Robin Jr. was sentenced to 45 years in prison after agreeing to a plea deal, whereas he would testify against Catherine White. As part of this plea deal, Robin cannot appeal the sentence, and he must serve half his sentence before he applies for parole. Jason Robin Jr. will be eligible for parole November 2041, when he is 46 years old. September 2024, Catherine White also agreed to a plea deal. A plea deal where the murder charge was dismissed and replaced to a guilty plea for injury to a child. White would be sentenced to 10 years in prison. Robin's parents, Jason Sr. and Micah Robin, are still caring for the couple's youngest child and are in the process of formal adoption. Jasmine Sr. and Micah also keep Jasmine close. They still have the lavender blanket, with blue, green and purple butterflies that the baby died in. They had two silver necklaces made to hold Jasmine's ashes. An inscription on the pendant reads, "God has you in his arms, I have you in my heart." Now here is the point in the episode where I get to tell you about the kind of child Jasmine was, the things that made her smile, and what others loved the most about her. The thing is, I can't do that, because she didn't live long enough to discover the world and all the smells, tastes, and sights it holds. She was only in her parents' care for 11 days before she was horrifically killed. Jasmine never had the chance to even smile for the first time. She never got the chance to be the princess all little girls dream of being. Jasmine never got the chance to experience anything. But one thing is for certain, she will never be forgotten. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice, and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.